10 o'clock hour begins now and continues with more of your calls. Tons of text messages as well. Now again, because Josh is in charge, because Jesse's taking yet another day off. The talk part of the talk and text line is the Milwaukee number, 800-990-3776. I know many of you are calling it. In fact, I see Josh answering another call right now. We'll get to your calls momentarily. The text portion is the Madison number, 844-770-3776. So keep those thoughts coming, and we'll keep getting to your calls. Let's start with Kyle in Green Bay. Kyle, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. How are you?
I know from your Twitter feed that you were going to be in the parking lot around 3:15 to kick off your tailgating.
We were.
You survived the rain and everything. Look, you are the unofficial mayor. Give us a feel for what it was like in the parking lot and in the stands as fans were back in full force for the first time for a game that counted.
It was unbelievable. I mean, that's probably my number one positive, especially after watching my first half, which was all negative. Number one positive is obviously just being back there with a full crowd. It was so great. I mean, I was lucky enough to be at both playoff games last year, and as cool of an experience as those games were, minus obviously the outcome of the NFC Championship game, seeing the tailgate crowd arrive a little bit later than what you would normally think, but it's also a Monday night game, so that's always a later arriving crowd. But I mean, there were still people in line at 3 o'clock waiting for the gates to open. We had a blast. We had a good crowd. The beer was cold. The food was great. But then walking into the stadium, I was surprised, another positive, that we had no issues at all with getting into the stadium with the electronic tickets. I know a lot of people were concerned about that, and there might have been some issues a little bit later, but we went in earlier than normal. My dad wanted to get in, even though we had our tickets and our Apple wallets, quote-unquote. We wanted to make sure that there was no issues with the scanners, and there wasn't by us. We went into the American Family Gate. But, man, being in that stadium, it was kind of chilling at first, you know, when they were doing the player introductions and the announcements and all that. It was like, oh, my God, does this feel great? Like, finally, like, some normalness, if you will, of being back with our with the Packer fans. There was a lot of Lions fans there.
Looked like it.
I'm guessing that the poor, soft secondary market for tickets. I mean, I had people that were coming up saying that they got tickets for $50, $60 a piece, which, I mean, that's preseason level pricing, not home opener pricing. But obviously everything that's been going on with COVID and obviously poor performance last week, that probably has something to do with it. But then getting to my negatives of last night, man, that defense in the first half was just awful. I mean, I kind of tongue-in-cheek tweeted out, like, boy, do I miss Mike Pettine and Don Capers right now. Obviously, a bit of a joke. But, you know, what was shocking to me, my dad and I were sitting there, and I said to him, when the Lions hit the ball, with what was it, a minute 56 seconds left or whatever in the first half. I mean, they treated that drive like Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy and Matt LaFleur treat those drives at the end of the half or the end of the game. Completely nonchalant. Like, and I'm saying the Packers do that on purpose because they have the ability to go down and score. But I was wondering what Dan Campbell was doing with Jared Goff. It's like, I know you guys kind of went up and down the field in the first half, but there was no sense of urgency at all. I thought they poorly managed that clock. They let a lot of time run off. And it's like, oh, this could come back to bite them. And it did because they only ended up, you know, with 3 points out of that deal when they probably, if they would have used their timeouts, because I think they had all 3 timeouts going into that drive.
Yeah,
it's like, why are you wasting so much time?
I assumed, and I did not go to Dan Campbell's post game. I assumed that they just didn't want to give the ball back to Rodgers with too much time. Let me ask you this, Kyle. Did you and your dad stay in your seats during halftime, and what did you think of the Ted Thompson thing?
I was listening when you were talking about that before. Obviously, I don't know if you can compare the ceremony for Ted Thompson to the ceremony that they had a couple of years ago when Bart Starr passed away. Because, I mean, Bart Starr, I mean, is...
Sure.
Might be number one on the Mount Rushmore, if you will, of Green Bay Packers, correct?
Sure.
I look at it more like the Jerry Kramer Hall of Fame ring ceremony, the Dave Robinson ring ceremony, when those guys got their Hall of Fame rings, and David Baker from the Pro Football Hall of Fame was here to, you know, give those guys their rings. I mean, nobody really cared about that. You know what I mean? going back to, well, they didn't. I mean, people got up and laughed. It's like, okay, well, you know, the 60s Packers are getting another ring. They're getting their names unveiled. Like, they didn't have huge ovations, you know what I mean? And the other thing is, the other one that I wouldn't compare it to either was the Brett Favre ceremony on Thanksgiving night against the Bears when Bart Starr came back. Because that was Favre's first time back in front of the crowd, other than what they had July of that summer or whatever when he came back for the Packer Hall of Fame induction. So,
right.
I thought it was subdued. I mean, truth be told, I mean, I did run up to the concourse to use the restroom. I was back for when Mark Murphy was speaking. Otherwise, it was great to be back there. Like I said, I mean, it was. I thought that the crowd was very, very quiet when the team was on offense, and they were pretty loud when the team was on defense. So I think you're not going to hear any complaints from the coach or the players about that this week, at least.
No, I saw, and thanks for the call, Kyle, and I always like when folks that are in the crowd are able to give us that kind of information, because the press box is so sterile that you just don't get a great feel for the fan reaction. But it did not, it felt subdued for the Ted thing. But again, even Kyle went to go pee. Tausch, the other thing that he said there, though, about it was very quiet when the Packers were on offense, and they had a brand new batch of videos that they put up on the scoreboard. Lots of guys putting their finger to their mouth with the shush sign, and they had a great one where Elton Jenkins, I hope they post these online, because there were actually some pretty good ones. My favorite was Elton Jenkins is in center of the frame, shushing, and behind him is David Bakhtiari tiptoeing in like he probably did when he was in high school when he came home after curfew and like trying to sneak into his house without his parents knowing that he came home late.
I don't believe in curfews at all. Like, you shouldn't give your kids curfews. You should say this is what you have responsibility with it. Forcing a time, you're just going to pile stuff up, do something dumb, and then get home at midnight? No. Be responsible. Don't do. I am so anti-curfew.
Huh. This sounds like something we need to explore further. First of all, your children are not in curfew mode because, well, wherever you're going, you're
curfews.
Taking them.
Yeah, believe that. They're not going to
have you discussed this with Sarah?
Yeah.
No, this will be an executive decision.
Oh,
by
wow.
Me.
Wow.
She knows where I stand on curfews, though. We've had this discussion. My parents, not curfew givers. Nope.
And look how well you and your brothers turned out.
Well, firmly believe it. You don't need a curfew, people. You don't. Got to give some power and responsibility, too.
What about nothing good happens after midnight?
You just say, no, you're not going out. You did this. You broke my trust. Now you're not going out. Boom. End of story.
You just never know what you're going to stumble into.
I mean, in all honesty, if somebody comes home at 12:15, they had a great night, but the curfew was 12 o'clock, you're going to get mad about that? Because they, that's, no, I just disagree no, with that premise. No.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know if it has to be like if you're 4 minutes late, you're grounded for a month. But I think having a general time.
Well, then what's
where,
the point of a curfew? What's the point of a curfew if you're not going to punish them? Is this?
What is the genesis of this? Like, as a player, you guys had curfew on the road. And at the team hotel, even at home, right? Like, you had to be, like, I don't know if they came and tucked you in, but you had to be, like, in your bed at 11? Bed check was 11?
Jason, that's for your job. Like, you have 8 hours. Like, this show, that my curfew is, I better make sure I'm there at night. It's not a curfew. It's my responsibility.
I don't know. You so leave somewhat early, though, fairly regularly.
You what?
Well, you sometimes leave. You got a golf thing, or you got somewhere to be. We pre-tape stuff. Like, you know, you don't really stay until noon all the time.
That's a curfew, too. Gotta go.
Gotta go. It's I gotta go play golf and raise money for a charity. Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. I still want to set some reasonably soft midnight curfew, for example. Not come home whenever the hell you want, because I trust you.
That's not what you say. No, that's not it.
Really?
If your kids are coming home at 3 every day, then you're probably thinking, maybe you need to dial it back. What are you doing out till 3? That's the conversation. It's not... Well, your curfew's at 2. You got home at 2:05. You're grounded for a week. What is that serving? What purpose is that serving?
This has been the Tausch Parenting Minutes for his children who are not old enough to have curfews yet. We will revisit this in, what, 6-ish years? 5 years? Hope we're still on the air together. I firmly believe that we will be. We've got staying power, but I can't wait until curfews are actually issued, or non-curfews are not issued in the Tausch House. We need to get to more of your calls. 844-770-3776 is the text line. The talk line is 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776. And we got some mist and some rain last night. No snow yet at Lambeau Field on the frozen tundra. But I did see the Aaron's mower for early games in the season mowing down the incorrect answers for attendance up on the scoreboard. 77,240, the final number last night. Soon, up on the scoreboard at Lambeau Field, that will switch to a snow thrower. And you don't want to be caught when they switch from lawnmowers to snow throwers up on the scoreboard without your snowblower being ready for winter. So be sure to get it tuned up at a authorized Aaron's dealer. And if you don't have one yet, make the purchase at Aaron's.com or at your local authorized Aaron's dealer. You do not want to wait until after we've gotten snow dumped on us and say, boy, I really wish I had an Aaron's snow thrower. Now's the time to do it. Check out Aaron's.com to find out more. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Even more now than when I started playing, there's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Get the trolls off our back!
Troller.
What does it mean, you're the fisherman on the panel, when you're trolling?
I don't feel like he's very zen lately. I don't sense the zenism about him.
The zenosity? What is trolling in fishing?
It's nothing to do. Fishing trolling is you basically put the line in, let the boat take it, and you're trolling. You got the line out, and then the boat is pulling it, and you're just kind of chilling. So it doesn't actually fit with this type of media troll as he's talking. I don't know that correlation.
So aren't you baiting people with your hot take, though, and your criticism?
Yeah, that's not what trolling is. Baiting is different.
I'm asking you because you know more about fishing than I do.
Hold on.
We'll call Mark Osiki, and we'll ask the Badgers assistant men's hockey coach who does casting for kids each year to help
us with
our
trolling. You got a trolling motor on some boats that kind of keep you in your spot because you obviously you understand waves and currents and things of that ilk.
I don't.
The boat will
no,
move.
I don't.
You put the trolling motor in, and it kind of keeps it so that your boat will stay in a certain spot where hopefully there's fish biting. Yeah, that's how that works.
Thank you for explaining that.
I just learned that maybe the trolling comparison is literal. Like, you're kind of moving along and trying to get people to nip at you behind you while you're making statements. I always figured trolling was like somebody in their basement making comments, and like we were talking about trolls.
Literal troll. Oh, you're saying like the guys underneath the bridge.
More literal troll. I think it's literal trolls, not trolling motors.
All right.
Or trolling when you're
fishing. Let's do this. Let's let Josh do some research into the where the trolling term comes from. But Aaron Rodgers definitely referring to trolls and not the people with the wild hair in the cartoons. Let's get to some more calls, though, and then we'll shift gears. We'll play a little Twitter trash or Twitter treasure coming up next. Let's go to James in Richfield. James, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. First-time caller. Glad to be on the show.
Thanks for holding on for so long. We appreciate your patience. What do you got for us?
So my positives would be LaFleur's offensive game plan was pretty good. It's fun to see those guys grooving. Play design's awesome. I appreciate watching that. Stokes and Gary, thought those guys played well. Younger guys progressing. It's nice to see. Defensive second half adjustment was pretty good after what we witnessed for that first half. And then good old Cobb catching the ball from his boy Rodgers.
Yeah. That's a good one. What about your negatives?
Negatives, that pass rush is just awful sometimes. And a lot of people like to blame King, but, I mean, you can only cover people so long. I know he got burnt on a few routes. But specifically, I'm just concerned with why Lowry and Lancaster play so much. I thought maybe that would switch with Joe Barry, or maybe I'm missing something, but it seems like those guys don't really get in there, and they kind of hold back. That's about it.
Well, yeah, and thanks for the call. I think they're in there to stop the run. I don't think anybody has got any mistake thinking that these guys are going to be great pass rushers. They're guys that are going to take snaps, be physical, keep guys off linebackers. Kingsley Kike's got to take a jump. We heard that that's what's going to happen. You know, I know he missed time during training camp. He has to be a guy that's got some shake, a little wiggle, get in the backfield and cause some problems. Because right now, I think Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith are doing okay getting up the field. You got to have some push in the middle. There ain't been any push in the middle. That's where this thing has kind of gone a little bit awry, in my opinion.
And Kenny Clark and Kingsley Kiki are the two that you expect that.
That's the wiggle guys. They got to be. You have to. And I just think back to, you know, the 2010 Super Bowl run. Everybody's loving Clay, and Clay was fantastic. Cullen Jenkins was a
dog. Cullen Jenkins. Yeah. You're right. Let's take one more call. Let's talk to Nick from the Mill. I always love it when Josh gives me these monikers. Nick, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
First off, I agree with Tausch on the curfew stuff. My parents were always let us know where you're at. If you're going to be late, you know, give us a call. Let us know you're doing okay and all that. And things
track
turned out
my
pretty
cell
well,
phone,
I think,
et cetera, et cetera. Yep.
No wonder. Wait a minute, Nick, before you continue. Tausch just said, track my cell phone, et cetera, et cetera. If you're not going to have a curfew, are you going to track your children's phones to see where they are?
I will have that availability, but I will refrain unless I feel like there's something suspicious happening.
No, we'll track.
So wait a minute.
I will not track.
All this empowerment, except for the fact that you're going to track them on their phones and their every move.
Not their every move, but if it gets to be 1:15 and you're kind of sitting up like, I wonder where these guys are at, you also don't want to be an idiot.
Denny and Diane did not have that technology for you.
I don't know that.
All right, Nick, what else you got, buddy? Sorry about that.
So my question is, do you think the Packers are going to start looking into who's out there at corner, like a Richard Sherman type of player or something to take place with Kevin King?
Yeah, Nick, I don't think they're going to go corner. I do think they're going to look for some potential linebacker edge guys, especially as this Za'Darius Smith situation keeps playing out. I know there was reports maybe a week or two ago that Goody had been making some calls around about potentially trying to grab a linebacker type, whether it was inside, outside, we don't know. I'm not going to be surprised if they look, because everybody sees it. This pass rush needs a little, kick in the pants. And if Za'Darius Smith is going to be injured and unable to play, they're going to need somebody that they can count on. And the good news is, there's going to be plenty of teams in fire sale mode probably in 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know if the Houston Texans have anybody. I don't know if the Jags. There's a lot of teams that are stinking that want to call it and start getting picks. I would think Green Bay is going to be very active in trying to grab somebody if they can find it at the right price.
All right. Sounds good.
Appreciate you, Nick. Thank you. I would just say this. As I look at their pass rush, everybody wants more pass rush. How much pass rush is going to be available on the market? Like, isn't it hard to upgrade? Isn't that one of the positions that is kind of hard to find an available guy that's actually going to really help you?
Yeah, of course it is. They're not going to just hand guys out. But I'm telling you, this is going to be, again, this year, teams are now looking more the NBA model. When you stink, let's stink bad. Don't stink 8-9 bad. I'm not afraid to go 4-13. You know what? We're going to get young guys playing time. Maybe there's a guy on the last year of his deal. We're going to try and get a third or fourth round pick to get him. There's been more trade line activity the last couple years than there was my whole career. The mode has changed. More, you know, the analytics and all this, I guess, whatever you want to call it, money ball type deal, it is now more in play. So don't be shocked. And if Green Bay is vibing,
no, I agree.
Teams that have had injury problems, that are their season's kind of slipping away from them, I don't even know who those players would be. But I can assure you, if there's some people that are even remotely available, go grab them.
We'll play a game of Twitter trash or Twitter treasure.
You know what I'd like, and this will never happen, but Danielle Hunter from Minnesota, that'd be fun. I'd take him. Minnesota's going to stink. They're 0-2 on the way to Lord knows where. Let's grab him.
What exactly are you willing to give up for Danielle Hunter?
Oh, I'd give up a third-round pick.
I think I found a way to get Bonds and Griffey, and we don't even have to give up that much. We'll see.
You get my drift here.
You're 100% right. I totally agree with you.
The Vikings will never trade anybody that's good to the Green Bay Packers.
Correct.
We all get that.
Correct.
But let's say the Vikings start faltering. You don't think they're going to start thinking about some of those older veterans when they're going to be in some cap scenarios? You don't think they're going to about maybe dumping somebody to an AFC team? Find an AFC team that's going to be in that same boat, and let's see if you can make a splash.
We will see. We're still a ways away from the trade deadline, but you're right, and I do think that the Packers will be active. I also wonder if it will go the other way. And the last time they had a guy who was somewhat disgruntled and underperforming, but at least playing, they dealt Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and got a fourth-round pick for him. I wonder if Za'Darius Smith might be on the move at the trade deadline, and I wonder if that gives you an opportunity to acquire someone who might be a good player. That's way down the road, though. We're going to play Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure next. It's always treasure, though, when you make the switch to Associated Bank. I saw one of my buddies who works for Associated. Associated's all over Lambeau Field, of course, as the official bank of the Packers. And if you went into the pro shop and you wanted to save a little extra money, maybe you didn't win our $100 gift card the way Ryan and McGuanago did from Steinhoffel's the other day, well, you save 10% at the Packers pro shop with your Packers debit MasterCard from Associated Bank. So check out AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more about what Associated can do for you. Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Feels great, you know, just to get that ugly taste out of your mouth. We had to wait an extra day to get that taste out of our mouth. I wish we would have played on Thursday night, you know, but I'm glad we came out and handled business and back to playing Packer football.
That is Aaron Jones scoring four touchdowns last night, three receiving, one rushing, and honoring his late father who passed away in April. He was definitely treasure in his performance. Let's play a little Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure presented by Waste Management.
You only find two things on Twitter. Trash.
Yes, I love trash.
And treasure. Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure is brought to you by Waste Management, a company committed to people first and success with integrity. Join the WM family and visit careers.wm.com.
All righty, let's start off here with the regular, let's call him Homer. Of course, every time we have to have a Homer tweet. I was a little disappointed. I expected more Packers tweets out of Homer last night. And we only really got one this morning. We all know that this year will be the same as every year with the Packers. Offense will be fine, and it's all about the defense. Twitter Trash or Twitter Treasure?
Treasure. I normally like giving Homer's takes trash just because it's more fun. But you looked at last week's game, and it was the offense stunk, and we were all shocked. I mean, I was, and I think most Packer fans were. Defensively, we didn't know. I didn't think we thought it would be as bad as it was. But this team is going to score points. They're the number one offense last year. I'm betting they'll be a top five offense again this year. Defensively, I just don't know. I think I have to reevaluate my got this team is stacked bit because guys aren't playing as if, you know, Jaire Alexander's an all-pro player. I'm not seeing anybody else pop. That's not where we're at. And again, it's 2 weeks. This defense under Joe Barry and with the players it's got, they need to improve. And I don't know if it's a scheme thing, if it's a player thing, but right now what they're doing is not going to be good enough to beat really good football teams.
So, you obviously factored Za'Darius Smith in when you said this team is stacked.
A Pro Bowl player. Yep.
Jaire Alexander, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, and you like their safeties.
I still think Rashawn Gary is going to be I think he's going to be an impactful player this year. Not having a Pro Bowl great pass rusher, which Za'Darius Smith is.
Correct.
Say what you want about him. He is a great pass rusher. Yes, I think the safeties are really good players. But unfortunately, that other corner position has not yet been improved. And that's a big weakness. But the pass rush is where this defense is lacking right now.
Right. This is Twitter Treasure. I agree with what Homer says. But my point to you is isn't this what most teams have on defense? A few really good players, and then a bunch of guys that have to do their jobs effectively that aren't great players. Like, this defense is not unusual. And when you say it's stacked, they do have talent. Not Za'Darius Smith, because he's not available for whatever reason right now. But I don't think your assessment of your defense is wrong. But you still have to have a coordinator who runs a scheme that makes up for shortcomings. And then you have to have guys execute. And it doesn't appear that either of those things have happened defensively through two games.
Well, the bottom line is, you're paying Kenny Clark like a big-time nose tackle, inside pass rush guy. He's got to be more productive, period. Kingsley Kike, I think Rashawn Gary is doing fine. I think he is coming on. And I think you're right, Preston Smith. Obviously, he's leaner. I think he's been a little more disruptive, obviously, than he was last year. The two inside guys, Kenny Clark is paid handsomely to be an impact player. And if this defense is going to get better, he's got to be more impactful. That's my assessment after 2 weeks.
What's next, Josh?
This one comes from at Ken Ingles. He is apparently the Packers guy. I don't know what kind of salary
cap. The Packers guy?
The salary cap guy for the Packers is what I meant to say before I started skipping some
words. He's not like an employee.
No. His hobby.
He's a fan who knows a lot about the salary cap, I think would be a way to describe Ken.
He's a salary cap hobbyist, apparently, which is an interesting decision.
Salary cap hobbyist.
He tweeted last night, Randall Cobb is making $8.6 million this season. He has zero targets from the starting quarterback through six quarters of football this season. Not exactly ideal. A side note to that, the Packers are only paying Cobb about $2.6 this year. But is Ken's tweet about Randall Cobb Twitter trash or Twitter treasure?
I'm going to recycle this one because you left out the part that's most important. Green Bay's only paying $2.6 million. And it got
Correct.
Aaron Rodgers back into camp. So you're having Jordan Love. As crazy as this sounds, I'm not sure Aaron comes back if Cobb's not back. I really think that
I think
was
you
a
might be
big
right.
piece
yeah.
to get him back. So for $2.6 million to get your Hall of Fame quarterback back, it's worth every penny and then some. I don't care how productive he is. So if it was $8 or $9 million, okay, then you have that conversation. It's popcorn money. That's what they sell in popcorn up there.
So I am not a salary cap hobbyist, as you described, Ken. I don't think in those terms, like how many receptions per dollar they're getting from him. I know others do. I don't, personally. And Matt LaFleur has been very clear on how he wants to get Cobb through all 17 games, so he's limiting his snaps early in the season. Aaron Rodgers commented after the game, not so passively aggressively, that he would like to see Cobb play more. So I don't know if this is a Cobb problem. I think this may be a playing time thing. So I don't think it's necessarily Randall Cobb not earning his keep so much as the Packers taking a cautious approach with his playing time. Trash.
Go ahead.
Every time Randall Cobb catches a ball, don't you just think to yourself, nice job.
An angel gets his wings.
No, I honestly am thinking, all right, Raji, he's going to find Cobber. He's going to find him.
Well, he did three times last night for 26 yards.
My takeaway was, didn't Cobb have like two third down catches? Well, not... One was on that free play, and then the two other might have been third down catches. So if he's providing that exact thing because Rodgers is comfortable with him and knows where he's going to be and can rely on him, is that not worth every $2.6 million you're paying him?
Yeah. Okay. Just like Jimmy Graham, as bad as he was and as bad of a mistake as it was to pay him again for a second year, I don't know if they win that Seattle playoff game without him 2 years ago. Is that worth all the money you paid him?
He made one catch.
He made several catches in that game, but I appreciate your feedback.
I remember the catch that put him over the top, and I agree to a certain extent. But the Randall Cobb piece of this, it's about getting your quarterback back. Everything else is gravy.
Yes.
$2.6 million? I know in the grand scheme of things that sounds like a lot. It's literally popcorn money. That's they'll have more popcorn sales than $2.6 million this year.
What does popcorn go for at Lambeau Field? Does it come in the red and white box, or does it come in a bucket? How do you get popcorn?
You got to go fresh. Don't get the boxed up stuff. Get it. You got to have the open air tub if you're going
to
go popcorn.
Popcorn, not a good outdoor thing to eat. If there's moisture,
especially
in the
when
air,
it's raining.
Yeah, if there's moisture, even if it's too humid, you got a real pickle on your hand. You got soggy peacorn.
Soggy peacorn?
Yeah, he said peacorn.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
He likes to shorten everything up.
Look at him giggling. I said peacorn on the radio. We'll see what other words Josh comes up with. We'll talk more about the Packers' win over the Detroit Lions last night. Coming up, it's Will Dean's House.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Z-Bart of Greater Milwaukee. Winter is a tough opponent for your car. Score a victory with Z-Bart Rust Protection. It keeps your vehicle rust-free for as long as you own it. Visit ZBart.com.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like, but there's certainly a lot to correct. And it was a tough game. And I don't think that necessarily the score was indicative of how that game went. Anytime that you win the turnover battle, you have a much better opportunity of winning the game. And I think that was the difference.
Matt LaFleur, and they do have a lot to improve on. Tausch, are the Lions the worst team in the NFC? When it's all said and done, when the season's over, will they turn out to be the worst team in the NFC? The Giants look like they're pretty bad. As I go around the conference, I'm not sure the Falcons are going to be any good. But could the Lions be the worst team in the NFC?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Falcons are going to be right there as well. They're going to be looking for a new QB, I think, after this season. But Detroit's going to be bad, and they're having injuries. The one thing I will say about Detroit, and typically bad teams don't have good offensive lines. I think their offensive line's pretty good. And I think it's going to probably get better, especially when they get their left tackle back at some point. So I don't think Detroit's going to end up with the worst record in the NFC. I think it's going to be Atlanta. And don't sleep on our friends up to the west. I think Minnesota's going to. I think
it's
Minnesota's
good. No, we missed it.
Minnesota's going to have a tough year, I believe. And I think getting off to this 0-2 start, there can be a lot of finger-pointing already up in that locker room. Now, they do have veterans, and they have a lot of pride. I think they'll flip the script, and they'll get to 6-7 wins. But I could see this thing spiraling where they're at right now. Are you kidding?
Mike Zimmer gets fired, and the Packers move on from Joe Barry after 1 year and bring in Mike Zimmer to be the defensive coordinator, and it gets Aaron Rodgers to stay for 2022. Huh? What do you think?
I actually think the more likely thing would be Mike Zimmer's fired this year. They bring him on as a consultant, and the defense makes vast improvements in the playoffs under Mike Zimmer. That's more likely.
Fired during the season, and you hire him shortly after he's been let go by your division rival.
You don't think Mike Zimmer want to stick it up Minnesota's you-know-what? Well, he loves Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers loves him.
They do
There's
love
crazier
each other,
things
yes.
out there.
No, you're an idea guy. So the reason I ask if you think the Lions are the worst team in the conference, which you're saying they may not be.
Oh, they're definitely going to be sniffing it, yep.
And so you play the teams that are on the schedule when they're... Are they sniffing peacorn? Or manure
wet,
candles?
Cold.
What a bunch of children we are. Are you, I don't want to say downgrading this, but how do you put this in perspective given the quality of the opponent? Like, how much should Packers fans today be more excited about their team? Just like we spent the Monday after the Saints ran them out of Jacksonville, saying it's only one game and et cetera, et cetera. So now it's still only, this is only one game. And the first half wasn't particularly good by Matt LaFleur's own admission. So, do you have any idea how good this team is at this point this or not?
Jason, this isn't hard. You've been around long enough.
I have been around a long time.
Enjoy the win. Enjoy it. And then move on. This isn't a game that you're smoking cigars and, you know, sipping on Tito's, although you can, you know, if you want. This is a game. This is what you're supposed to do. This wasn't some groundbreaking. You stunk the week before, so you really want to get back out there. You want to play, and you want to show that that was just bleh. Now, you beat a bad team, what you're supposed to do at home. Now let's move forward. The good thing is it was a Monday night game. Now it's switch flips. Wednesday, you're back at it. You got a heck of a test going out to San Fran. Now let's see where you're at. Every week is a measuring stick. Could be a 3-yard stick, could be a 4-yard stick. Last night's game was probably a 1-yard stick. It wasn't one of the long yard sticks that we love having. This is a shorter yard stick. So take that for what it's worth and move forward.
There's a name for a 1-foot-long yardstick. It's called a ruler. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour with some discussion of whether you take the ball or whether you defer. Aaron Rodgers had some interesting thoughts on that. Plus, we'll play Wildy and Tausch Trivia, the Aaron Jones edition. And it's back because Josh is here because Jesse's taking another day off. Whoa, Joshy. All still ahead during the 11 o'clock hour, which kicks off in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.